Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today. Ooh, wow, what a packed program as always. I want to encourage you though to be sure and listen to Sunday Morning with Robin Walter on the various podcast opportunities, website, blast email, however people get each of the programs. Because it's important stuff. It really is. It deals with things that need to be said from the pulpit. And it's an analysis of the difference between expository teaching and topical teaching, but I think that you'll find it very interesting. And also a means by which to better gauge what is a correct church for you. Along that line, however, of what should be coming from the pulpit is this news. I have it sitting at the top of my stack, which you know means it's good news. I'm going to start with it. It's bad news for 97% of evangelical pastors. That's right. You heard me right. Bad news for 97% of evangelical pastors, or so-called. And why do I say that? Because the IRS finally changed their tune this past week, and no longer are they going to prohibit pastors from being able to endorse political candidates from the pulpit. This all goes back to the Johnson Amendment, 1954, which was never challenged in court in any meaningful way because it's fundamentally and absolutely unconstitutional. The IRS said we might as well just make it okay because we weren't really enforcing it anyway. So why is this, though I consider this great news, it's only great news for 3% of all evangelical pastors. It's bad news for 97%. Why? Because 97% of evangelical pastors have said that they would not voice anything political from the pulpit if they could. But you see, for 71 years, they've had an excuse, right? Oh, we can't do it. We're going to lose our tax-exempt status. Well, forget the tax-exempt status. Screw it. That doesn't mean anything if it's holding you back from teaching and preaching the Word of God. Go look in your concordance. If you think that I'm overstating the case, go look in your concordance. Go to the I section and scroll down there and stop when you see the phrase Internal Revenue Code. It's not in there. It never did apply. It never applied to me. I will tell you from all the years of Obama that I was preaching, I spoke out against the guy that this is a king from 1 Samuel 8. He's worthless. He's bad. This is what he's going to be. I don't care who the alternative is better. I violated these IRS so-called rules about 8 seconds into 95% of my sermons. I never looked back. I never had a thought on it. We never got called out on it. We never got smoked out for it. We never had the IRS come after us. I knew we were in the right. Could have lost the case, but that doesn't mean we wouldn't have been right. And now it's okay to say it. And 97% of the pastors, evangelical pastors, have, oh, so sad, you lost your excuse for not standing up and having a spine and speaking to important issues from the pulpit because you're afraid you're going to offend some little old people in the church or whatever that just they don't want to get whatever, tweaked, twerked. I don't even know the right word these days. Ticked off, offended. That's really what it comes down to. You just don't want to offend anybody. And for goodness sakes, don't offend them with the truth. Oh, how dare you? Well, it's great news for those 3%, and that's why it's big news for the 3% who have done it, have challenged it, but now I don't think they had any problem sleeping at night. I sure didn't. But if they did, they said, I don't know if I should be doing this, but I'm doing this, honey. I'm going to go say, oh, we might be out of a job, might not be pastor anymore, our church might lose its tax-exempt status. Well, but I got to do it anyway. So they did the right thing, and now they get to sleep better at night for 3%. Now the 97% won't sleep because they've lost their precious IRS deduction excuse. Oh my gosh, I don't have an excuse. Oh, we might divide the congregation. Well, I'll tell you what. If the congregation is filled with sheep and goats, it's time to divide them. The church is not primarily the physical church. The local congregation is primarily not a body for soul winning for whoever comes in. That's for evangelists. Those are the ones that are on the road. You're talking to the body of Christ, supposedly, and wouldn't they logically be able to reasonably expect that you're going to deliver the word of God to them on a whole bunch of issues? And oh my gosh, it turns out that Joe Biden and Barack Obama are wrong on queer marriage. They're wrong on sodomy. They're wrong on abortion. Just go down the line. But a congregation, you vote for whoever you think is doing God's will. But these are the ones who are not. No wonder we're screwed up. No matter wonder where we are. Okay, too much time on that, but I'm passionate about it. Next item. So the Trump administration is going to take an equity interest in a private company. This is really unusual. Trump administration is sinking $400 million into the stock. The administration is buying stock in a private company called MP Materials, and the whole point is to expand, quote, domestic production of rare earth magnets used in advanced weapons systems and industrial technologies, end quote. Now, the purpose here I like because it's sort of like what happened in World War II. Well, the auto plants, they couldn't make cars anymore because they needed to make tanks. And the military took over because it was military time. We got a different job to do. We got some property we need to wreck and some people we need to kill. That's what war is, wreck property and kill people. Nothing else to it. I mean, that's what it is. But that was World War II. Pearl Harbor had been bombed. Everything changed. This is a little bit along that line in the sense that we are beholden to China for materials that are absolutely critical in developing our own weapon systems. Wow. I get that. And to that extent, I support it. But I got a big however. I'm a little bit scared of the precedent. Now, things went back to normal after World War II. They started making cars again. Baby boom. Everybody's having kids. Happy days are here again. All right? And it went back to normal. I would hope that we can develop something that makes this abnormal. Because I, as a principle, I don't like the government having a financial stake and actually holding a stake in private industries. Let me just ask you, would you like the government having a 35%, own 35% of the stock in Walmart? Of course not. Be the government good or bad, the fact of the matter is that's the government. And they can kind of direct and they can steer the policies and procedures of that corporation in ways that are good, but also maybe ways that are bad. And fact is, you go from a good administration to bad to good to bad, but it's still owned by the federal government, a substantial minority interest, and they exert tremendous influence. That's not a good thing. I really don't want to be in an equity position, sharing position with the federal government. You want to loan the government money, bonds? Okay, that's a different story. You're a lender. But to be in business with the government, and let's say that we go back to somebody worse than Joe Biden, because every Democrat president is worse than the one before. You had Jimmy Carter, right? But then who did you have after Jimmy Carter? Well, Barack Obama, or you had Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was worse than Jimmy Carter. Barack Obama was worse than Bill Clinton. Joe Biden is worse than Barack Obama. Trust me, if we end up with a Democrat in the office again, he's going to be worse than Joe Biden. I don't want to be a equitable interest owner. In other words, a partner with a bad, evil administration. So I don't like the precedent this could set, though the purpose here is closer to necessary government activity, and not in wartime, but actually in preparation of wartime. This next piece, probably no surprise, Gen Z. Gen Z is what? Age, I don't know, 16 to 30 or something like that. I get them kind of screwed up. But, you know, I mean, you got the boomers, then you got the millennials, and you got Gen X, and then you got Gen Z. That is the generation that is the least proud generation to be American. I always go, oh my gosh, how did that happen? Because you sent them to left-wing schools. You turned the precious minds of children and grandchildren over to left-wing demoniacs, and I apologize for the redundancy. But I want to get back to some good news here, and I have a lot to read to you from a piece written by John Fleischman, I think is how it's pronounced. Because, you know, under Biden, all they did was sue conservative organizations and sue conservative states trying to do good things. And Trump has said, hey, you know what, I can play that game. So let's see, what states should we sue? Let's start with California. Well, he's not starting with California. But I hope Trump sues the state of California about every conceivable thing in the entire world and costs the state hundreds of millions of dollars because they got Gavin Newsom as a governor and a pack of Democrat weenies that are a supermajority in both the House and the Senate of that state. So what have they done? And I'm just going to read John's piece here. He says it better than I could, but I wanted you to get the full import. I think that's the word here. John says, yesterday was a turning point in the ongoing battle over fairness in high school sports. The U.S. Department of Justice, led by U.S. Attorney Bill Asaile in the Central District of California, filed a lawsuit against the California Department of Education and the California Interscholastic Federation. This action comes just days after the California agencies refused to comply with a directive from the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights on Monday. The directive demanded changes to policies allowing transgender girls to compete in girls' sports. I don't know why he says transgender girls. They're actually transgender males. I think he messed that up himself here. Citing violations of Title IX, the federal law ensuring equal educational opportunities. I got to interject here. You don't become a girl because you say you're a girl. And I guess I can't say that. I had something that was really make the point, but I don't think I should say it. You don't get to be that. You don't just declare yourself. Why don't I just declare myself black and I'm entitled to minority-owned business subsidization from the Small Business Association? What do you mean? I got all these Motown records to prove it. Well, you know what? You can't do that. Well, except if you're a screwed-up he-male, she-male, whatever, who thinks he is a girl, which he is not. The anatomy doesn't line up. The DNA doesn't line up. Nothing lines up except the person is screwed up big time. So, equal education opportunities are not based on what you call yourself, or I could file for discrimination against the Small Business Administration for not giving me a minority-based loan because I claim that I'm Hispanic or black. False, right? Obviously false. It's so obviously false in all these other circumstances. Why it was ever permitted here, it's simply the incredible, ingenious work of Satan. Okay? Continuing, the lawsuit marks a decisive step and a heated clash between federal and state authorities over fairness in athletics. So that's one part of it. going on here. The Justice Department's filing pulls no punches. Quoting California Governor Gavin Newsom's own words, where he says it's deeply unfair for girls to compete against boys. Well, it only became unfair for girls to compete against boys when Governor Gavin Newsom made it known that he wants to be president and he needs to change his position because he is a slime ball. Really. I mean, well, he's a slime ball. Gavin Newsom. So the lawsuit argues that displaces girls from podiums, denies them awards, and undermines opportunities for scholarships and recognition. Because California's policies were rooted in the state's education code that permitted students to participate in sports based on the gender they chose. Okay, well, how about the race I chose? How about anything else I choose? Not the biological sex they were born. Federal government contends these policies erode the integrity of girls' sports and violate Title IX's core principles of equal opportunity. You see, Title IX came about because there was a boys' football team, but the school wouldn't sponsor a girls' football team, or a boys' baseball team, and they wouldn't sponsor a girls' baseball or a softball team. Title IX demands that there's an equality of opportunity, not an opportunity to declare you're screwed up under the protection of law and become the other sex and then go back and forth, which we have. We got all kinds of stories. The guy's a guy on Monday, wants to be in the girls' bathroom on Tuesday. He's a chick, which he can't be without a, well, anyway. And then Wednesday, he's back to being a guy, and who knows what. This is how screwed up it is. So A.B. Hernandez, student one in the filing, competed in a girls' track events at the 2025 California State Track and Field Championship. So he claimed first place in the girls' triple jump and the high jump and second in the long jump. Had he competed against boys, he would have finished dead last in every event. The results of these policies are stark. Girls are displaced from podiums, denied awards, miss out on critical visibility. This pattern, repeated across multiple students in sports, highlights the tangible harm to female athletes' opportunities. And now do you wonder why Gen Z is at least proud to be American? They have to have to put up with stinky schools that don't know their rear end from a hole in the ground? Lawsuit represents more than just another legal filing. It signals a fundamental shift in how we approach fairness in athletics. States like California, where policymakers and very liberal groups, argue that their policies protect inclusivity. Oh, yeah. Why don't we just have pedophiles in here? Let's make room for pedophiles. Let's make room for people who commit incest. Let's make room. Well, let me go on and on. Let's make room for people who are into bestiality. We want to be inclusive. Well, that's California. So, while the critics, including the Trump administration, assert that all these things undermine fairness for female athletes, the Justice Department's action signals a warning to other states with similar policies. That's number one. But they didn't waste time. They came right back with another lawsuit. This one I really love. I love the first one. The Trump administration is scrambling to crack California's egg regulations with a new lawsuit that is no yoke. Obviously, I'm still quoting Mr. Fleischman here. Filed yesterday, the Central District of California, U.S. Department of Justice is targeting Proposition 12, which mandates cage-free housing for hens and sets strict standards for eggs sold in the state. The feds argue these rules are a hard-boiled attempt to overregulate, inflate egg prices, and foul interstate commerce. They claim California's laws have egged on a 20% price increase since implementation, leaving consumers shell-shocked. He obviously had a lot of fun writing that. But the point is that this interferes with interstate commerce. And the reason it interferes with it is because now you can't have people from Colorado or Arizona or Nevada selling eggs to California unless Arizona, Colorado, and Nevada all comply with California's chicken condo law. I was there when this was passed in 2012, and that's what we called it, the chicken condo law. And I just hope Trump sues and sues and sues, and millions of dollars of taxpayer dollars are spent on these lawsuits, and they finally realize Democrats aren't the answer. Democrats are, in fact, the problem. Well, rounding out Queer Pride Month, let's talk briefly about the city of Chicago. City of Chicago, this last weekend, we have 50 people were shot, 8 were killed. In Philadelphia, there were 46 people shot, and I think 6 were killed. But Chicago, once again, takes a record. They say, oh, it's these guns, these guns, these guns. You know what? We can go back 50 years ago when it was much, much easier to get guns than it is today. And Chicago didn't have that problem. Had a crime problem, for sure. Has forever. It's a big city. Lots of Democrats. They don't have morals. Really, they don't. So why is it a why is the gun the problem now when it wasn't the problem 50, 70 years ago when guns were more freely accessible? Talk about the schools, no morals being taught, abortion, life is cheap, make a baby, just kill it, you make them, we scrape them, no fetus can beat us. You got all of that. It takes a toll on the culture. But what should be brought out here is while 50 people were getting shot and 8 were getting killed, Chicago took great pride in hosting the Queer Festival and the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZAA+++AA+ parade and Queer Pride. They're all about that, even though you'll find actually the violence of queers against queers, murders of queers against queers, is higher than actually any other, whatever you want to call it, cultural subset in this country. An enormous amount of violence because they're unstable, and unstable people do bad things. So I've asked a pastor one time, I said, have you ever counseled somebody who's homosexual? He said, oh, gosh, yes. You've heard me share this before, but it's worth repeating. And how many of those cases in the counseling of them did it turn out that they were physically abused by an adult male when they were a child? His answer, 100%. He said, I've yet to counsel a homosexual who isn't that way. I mean, who's that way for reasons other than physical sexual abuse by an adult male. It's obviously not in the DNA. That's for sure. Okay. So here we go. Planned Parenthood. This is kind of good news, but there's something the media has not shared, not even conservative media, about Planned Parenthood being sued. Being defunded in the big, beautiful, whatever bill. Well, this is what you are not told. Well, there's a big deal. We defunded Planned Parenthood. A lot of high-fiving. I'm thrilled. They're defunded for 1 year. And under the legislation, they start getting money again in a year. Now, maybe the red states think that they can pull it off again. But, okay, it's only immoral to be killing these babies for the next 12 months. After that, you're going to have at it again. And we will restore your $732 million in funding so we can subsidize the slaughter of our posterity. Republicans folded on that one. They folded. They needed to do better. Of course, Planned Parenthood is now suing Trump administration over defunding. That somehow a so-called nonprofit corporation is entitled to force taxpayers to fund their business of slaughtering innocent unborn children. I mean, it doesn't really get any more screwed up and demonic than that. Okay. I want to touch base here on this Camp Mystic and the thing down in Texas, because it is important. There's been so much on the news. This just hurt terribly. And I covered this in the Sunday Morning with Robin Walter program. And maybe it's because I'm particularly touched by the fact that there were so many 7 and 8 year olds. These are the ages of my granddaughters. And I look at their pictures and I think, well, it just could as easily have been a granddaughter of mine going to a summer camp on the Guadalupe River in Texas. I know that area. I know it well. I actually had property for a short period of time in Fredericksburg, very, very close to Kerrville there. And it's a beautiful area, but they've had these floods forever. People trying to blame FEMA. FEMA's to blame. Donald Trump's to blame. They didn't. If they had funded this, well, keep in mind, the bill that is basically reducing the funds for FEMA, because Trump's trying to shift it to the states in part, what he said was, we're not going to spend it. We'll allocate the money and we'll shift it to the state for the state to implement the FEMA procedures. None of that has even happened yet. But that doesn't stop the left from screaming and blaming Trump for the deaths of these girls. Keeping in mind, there was plenty of warning. There was extra staff. Some of the places didn't get warnings because they weren't prepared to receive warnings. It hits at 1 a.m. in the morning. Are you going to tell me that FEMA, which shows up after the damage is done, and the damage was done by daybreak, somehow a reduction in the FEMA thing makes Trump to blame for this? Seriously? I mean, they would blame Trump if a meteor hit the earth. And I guess they just can't resist being stupid at alarming levels. But it's just such a pile of nonsense that we hear from this. And then, of course, you have the liberal crybabies and weenies, the one that's saying, well, that's a racist camp. It's nothing but Christian white girls there. Well, first of all, that's a lie. It wasn't all Christian white girls. I don't know what is Christian girls, or it's a Christian camp. I don't even know if you have to be a Christian to go to the camp. It's a Christian camp where the camp is there to infuse and instill biblical moral values in young girls. That's a great idea. It'd been there for 99 years. It never got wiped out before. Well, they say, well, it's a 100-year flood. Well, you're right. It's a 100-year flood. But there have been huge floods before, which obviously weren't due to climate change. So that's the other thing they're blaming Trump on, is that he's against this climate change initiatives, and therefore that he's partly to blame for what happened in Texas. Oh, my gosh. I don't even want to quote these really, really, really bad women. No, I'm not going to do it. There's just better things to talk about. Other than the fact that they're saying, well, they got what they paid for. They got what they voted for. Isn't that interesting? That's what one of them said. They got what they voted for. They deserve it. Well, here's what's interesting. A couple days ago, there's a flash flood in New Mexico that kills a bunch of people. And guess what, folks? New Mexico is an all-Democrat state. They're all Democrats. So now what's the excuse? You hucksters from Houston. It's a bunch of Houston women who are ticked off and racist women. They're obviously racist. But now go blame New Mexico. What's New Mexico's problem? Because it's a Democrat state. Well, you lost that argument, didn't you? It doesn't take long for people who are really stupid to be shown their stupidity. But it is what it is. We move on, don't we? And we're going to move on after the break. Don't go away. This is Robin Walter with The Robin Walter Show on the Red Sky Radio Network.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Where we are there, Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels. You know, some people have asked my solicitation. Well, the solicitation I wrote, but one of those precious granddaughters does, by name of Annabelle. They said, well, you know, we got Trump in office. Does that really ring true? Everything that you were saying. Well, yes, it does. Big tech and big media have still conspired to rid our country of all things Christian. Dark days are ahead. We've got a little bit of a flicker here to do something, and hopefully God will bless the efforts, all of which will be to no avail if there is not a spiritually righteous uprising in this country. So I don't think anything in that solicitation is actually dated. I really don't. Trump is, I'm thrilled to have him in office. I mean, I disagree with him on some things, and you're going to hear about one of them in just a minute. And it could sink him. This is one that I tend to agree with Tucker Carlson on. This next issue could sink him. But we do what we can. We pray for our leaders. We are commanded to pray for those who are in authority over us. Now, I have to confess, my prayers for Donald Trump are a little different than prayers for Joe Biden or Barack Obama. Sometimes my flesh would get involved. Yes, God, I pray for Joe Biden. Would you please have that guy walk out in front of a speeding Kenworth? Well, no, that's not really the angle God is looking for in us. No, it isn't. And I've repented of that. But it is not easy. It ain't easy, folks, to pray for really wicked people sent from hell just to mess things up on this earth. But the Garden of Eden was gone a long time ago, and we won't have it in this life until Jesus returns. So that's what we're faced with, sitting tall in the saddle, right? Okay, so we're going to move on to this thing here. I have to touch on it, dealing with the Epstein files. Everybody has a take on this, and I do too. I'll give you my take, and you can agree, disagree, you can add your thoughts or whatever you want to do, and you can let me know about it. It's Red Sky Radio 777 at gmail.com. That's Red Sky Radio 777 at gmail.com. So, first of all, I need to just speak honestly about Pam Bondi, which sadly, she's not looking real sharp, but I think she's constrained by Trump. That seemed to be obvious in the cabinet meeting the other day where she started to speak and she didn't get very far and Trump just took over and just shut her down. So I'm going to say what needs to be said. And I want to go back to all the way back to February, where the Epstein thing came. I know they've got the file supposedly, and you saw the picture with Bondi and about a half a dozen other people with these binders that contained supposedly the first release of the Epstein file materials. I have since found out that the binders were actually empty. They were provided the materials afterwards because I don't think they'd fit in the binders. But that was sort of a stupid grandstand. But what really sunk them is that it was called and advertised as Phase 1. Now, this should be a no-brainer. Phase 1 is a meaningless phrase, a meaningless term, a meaningless descriptor, unless there's Phase 2. And there never was a Phase 2. There never was a Phase 2. And Bondi, acting on presumably the inspiration, authority, direction of Trump, because Trump made a big deal out of this during the campaign. We're going to expose it. It's all going to be exposed. And we were all thrilled to do what actually Scripture says. Trump didn't do what Scripture says, but he said what Scripture said we're supposed to do. And that is, I think, from Ephesians, to expose the works of darkness. That's what that was all about, or supposed to be all about. And it was a big deal in this campaign. So to overpromise and underperform, you could chalk it up to a big ego in that, or you can go to the other side and say, well, something's going on here, kind of behind the scenes. Trump did not want Bondi to speak. He was going to handle it, and then chastised people in the room. Why are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein? He's a creep. That's old news. Let's get on with other things. Why are you still spending time on this? Well, I will tell you, I'm old enough to remember Watergate. Yes, I do. I was painting for a living at the time. Listen to the whole thing on my transistor radio while I'm on my ladder outside. I got paid just enough to buy new batteries for my transistor radio. But I listened to that, and what was the problem with Nixon? He denied that there was an issue. He was saying, no, I didn't do this. I am not a crook. Well, the more he tried to defend himself, when it appeared that there was something amiss, the more it energized the people who wanted to expose him. And they did. And so in an effort to cleanse himself, he released the tapes, right? You remember that? He released the tapes? And guess what? There's an 18-minute gap in those tapes. Better to have not released them than to release it with a gap. And so that just whetted the appetite for further digging and digging, and finally, obviously, he resigned in disgrace. Isn't it interesting that the administration has said there's no problem here, no problem here. Oh, and here's the tape. But the tape actually has a one-minute gap. There's 1 minute that you do not see what goes on in that cell or who is gaining access to the cell. Now, Bondi's trying to explain the one-minute gap, but it doesn't matter. It isn't going to work. This whole thing has energized not just conservatives. Come on, be truthful. Do what you say you're going to do. But it's also energizing, interestingly, Democrats, which I'll get to in a minute. So they had the file in February. Phase one was released in February. Why did it take 5 months? 5 months to say there was no list, Epstein list. If there's no Epstein list 5 months later, there was no Epstein list 5 days after the big hoopla with the binders. And then, of course, Bondi's saying, I've got the Epstein file on my disk. I'm going to go through it, or desk. I'm going to go through it. The implication is, what are people after? Only two things. Only two things they care about. One, who went to Pedophile Island? And number two, did Epstein, and two is definitely two. It's a second to number one. Did Epstein blackmail the people that came there for a ton of money, or else he was, would expose them? And therefore, that's why he would have the list. Who knows? It's hard to imagine. I mean, can you think of a lodging, a resort, a hotel name that doesn't have a list of everybody that slept there? Of course they do. So she said, I got it right here on my desk. I'll be looking into it right away. I'll tell you, Babylon Bee, that I love, they nailed her. And they should have nailed her. And they did. With her satirical article that said, Pam Bondi confirms that the Ark of the Covenant is sitting on her desk, just waiting to be reviewed. Sad if it weren't true. It's certainly not hilarious, but it's a great insight. So the next thing that the administration said, that they just couldn't release more because there are all these pictures, and maybe they're videos, I don't know, that are pornographic, and they deal with underage girls and all of that stuff. And that's the reason that they're not releasing more. I want to tell you, no one on the left, the right, the middle, or they don't, independent, they don't care, has said, we want to see porn pictures of underage girls. That was not what they're after. And getting a list does not necessarily involve any videos. It's a list. It's a totally different source of information, or repository of information, I should say. I think it's smokescreen. This would have been so easy to avoid. So in February, they make this announcement, phase one, blah, blah, blah. We're getting down to it. It's all on my desk, and we're going to be reviewing it and review. Well, guess what? So they don't then come out with this release that there is no list. There's nothing here. Keep it moving, folks. 5 months later. Well, I should ask the question. If there's no list 5 months later, well, then there shouldn't have been a list. There wouldn't be a list only 5 days later. Unless one thing. The time was needed to destroy it. So could they say there's no list and be truthful? Yes. We burned it. We destroyed it. It's shredded. It took us 5 months to find everything we needed to shred. But it's gone now. There is no list. And there's no indication that he attempted to bribe anyone. Well, how would we ever know if the administration has tampered with the evidence? This is bothersome to me. I think it could be Trump's undoing, sadly. And I have to agree with Tucker Carlson on this one. He's one of the few people out there saying this could bury him. It buried Nixon. And when you say one thing, I mean, Clinton. Well, I had marijuana, but I didn't inhale. Oh, baloney. Obama. Well, no, I was born in Hawaii, but then the Israeli government Department of Forensics analyzed his birth certificate from Hawaii and said, "Do you want to get something done right? Go ask the Jews in Israel. They'll get it done right." They said this is the most bogus birth certificate that could be made up. The birth certificate said African American on it. When Obama was born, that term wasn't even used. That's how stupid the forgers were. But then it was swept away under the rug. We can't. Oh, it'll be a constitutional crisis to find, let people find out that we have somebody who was never qualified or legally able to be president, got elected because of government corruption. You hide it, you're just whetting the appetite for people to find it out. So, what did happen? There's a couple of possibilities here, and this is just my own thoughts. I don't like to throw out my own thoughts because they're all my own thoughts. I could be dead wrong, so here's a disclaimer. What you're about to hear could be dead wrong. All right? Now I'm going to say it. First of all, I have no thought whatsoever although some people say it's a possibility, I get it, that Trump is on that list. I don't think so. I do not think so. But the problem is that when you take the Fifth Amendment, everybody knows you're hiding something. Everybody knows that you don't want something revealed. Everybody knows that you're guilty of something and you cannot be caught telling the truth because you'll pay a price. Like Joe Biden's physician who took the Fifth Amendment before Congress and closed session the other day or before a committee about Biden's cognitive health. Take the Fifth Amendment on that? Are you kidding me? So now we know that Joe is nuts. But we knew that before. We've known he's immoral for a long time. He lied, plagiarized himself in presidential speeches the first time he ran and the second time he ran. But now we know certifiably that the guy's bonkers, and he has been for a long time. But I don't think that's the case. So, but why Trump would take kind of the Fifth Amendment on this and try to, all you got to say is, why are we still talking about this? The more you say something like that, gosh, you're whetting my appetite, Mr. President. I don't think that he's got something personally to hide. I don't think it's in there. But what I think is in there are names that would be hugely embarrassing to, hang on, everyone, politically, Democrats, Republicans, independents, movie stars, who are basically committing statutory rape with underage girls outside of the United States, which is why Jeffrey Epstein had a place outside of the United States. So the U.S. laws didn't apply. I think, the reason, could they be critical political allies? I suppose they could be. But I am going to go to a step even deeper. I think the reason Trump wants this buried and, frankly, has not fulfilled even remotely close to a campaign promise to get to the bottom of it. You see, when he made these promises, he was a candidate. He didn't have this legislation and all these trade deals going on and the big, beautiful bill and all that garbage. That wasn't going on at the time. I'm not calling the bill garbage, but he didn't have these other activities going. This story, breaking. So you find out that, pick some people. George Clooney, pick George Bush. Who knows who went there? But for every known name that would be revealed on that list, Trump loses media time and space big time to the big, beautiful bill, the trade deals, you name it. He's numero uno in the news most of the time, but throw out 35 people that are in a scandalous situation. It's a media frenzy. The media sharks would be all over this, and so would the public. The public loves scandal. The media knows that. And it'll become Donald who? Trump who? Who gives a rat's rear end about this bill or that bill or the Terry deal? We want to find out more about so-and-so who went to Pedophile Island. In other words, the release of the names would totally and completely derail his plans. Now, I disagree with his tactic, if this, in fact, is what it is. Let the plans be derailed for a period of time, but do what you said you were going to do. And that is to expose the truth. To expose it. Now, while I said it could be that this list doesn't exist because it's been destroyed, but if we're supposed to expose the works of darkness, and Mr. President, you're not doing what you said you promised to do, and now you're chastising people to trying to hold you to that promise, here's what could happen. God could actually use the Democrats to do his work. I can't even believe I'm saying that. But the Democrats in the media who want to get at this like you cannot believe, it's like candy to a baby. They want this badly. and they're going to keep pursuing it somehow, if they can, or the accusation lies over Trump forever. He hid something. He took the Fifth Amendment. Make it go away. No, you be honest about that, and we'll give you more credence, Mr. Trump. I get that response, but if the left goes after somehow revealing names, because they don't even care that 75% of the people at Pedophile Island might be Democrats. If they ended up destroying all their political allies in the process, to them, it would be a necessary and worthy sacrifice to get at the real enemy in this world, Donald Trump. It could be the left that actually plays a role in exposing the works of darkness. Yikes. But you know, I mean, Trump's been given this opportunity. I'm glad he's in the office. He's done a lot of great things. But the fact is, if he had let this play out like it should, let the media have its frenzy, and he just kind of come down off his horse here and pick up this thing 6 months from now, he's still got 3 years to get this agenda in. But he wouldn't be maybe hurting his agenda by trying to hide this thing, if that, in fact, is what's happening. And all that Pam Bondi needed to do is this. After they had the big hoorah with all the binders, which was just plain stupid, but when she did the thing with, I've got the Epstein file right here on my desk and I'm going to be going through it and blah, 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 clear implication that she's going to pull out the list because that's what everybody's looking for. Who is a pedophile? Who would be accused of statutory rape had this been, had this occurred in the United States? All she had to do, so easy, is about 4 or 5 days later for her to come out and say, we've been meticulously going through the file. We are not done. We're going to continue it. But thus far, we are not finding the list. We're going to keep looking and digging. We'll leave no stone unturned and have that be 3, 4, 5 days after the announcement that she's going through it. A huge amount of credibility. But to wait 5 months, the list that doesn't exist 5 months later would not have existed 5 days later. This is so avoidable. And part of it is a Bondi blunder. Sadly, it's why some of them are calling her Pam Blondy. I don't like to say that because my wife is blonde. And I don't mean it that way. But that's what they're calling her. And then Trump shut her down because he's afraid she might, I don't know, go off the rail on something here and say something because it's a televised cabinet meeting. He takes control to try to snuff out any thought that people would continue raising this issue. Now, the real problem ultimately is I do not know how at this point in time he could save face. Yeah, maybe people might forget about it. You know, there was a classic tactic of Obama. He would do something grossly unconstitutional, outrageous, unbelievably against the law, and the issue would be brought up, and before the scandal could be at the least bit investigated, he was out with a new scandal. He was out with something else. He hit us so hard and so fast, we never had time to explore, investigate, or have congressional probes of his malfeasance. Gross malfeasance. Didn't have time. So the only thing that I can think Trump is probably going to try to do now is to bury us with new initiatives and other things, which he's doing great things. He's worthy of the Nobel Peace Prize. He is. But I think this is bigger than what people have thought that it is, because now you have Democrats who will bury their own willingly to get at Trump, and you have MAGA people are disappointed because one of the things they looked to was the fulfillment of a promise. We'll get to the bottom of this. Didn't take 5 months. Just wait. Maybe it'll go away and people still ask. We just say, well, we didn't find anything. It's such a big mistake. There, Scripture says there's a wisdom in a multitude of counselors. I don't doubt that Trump has some good counselors. But does he have as many as he should? I forgot who was a very good man the other day said he's got a lot of amateurs there. I don't know. He picks loyalists. Being loyal is kind of the number one criteria. But I don't know why Bongino is silent on this and Kash Patel. It's eerie and it's unnerving. And I just hope that it doesn't unravel all the good that will be done, but the good that will be done may not get done if this doesn't get squared away, and I'm not sure if it can. So I just spent this whole program giving you something else to pray about, right? Let God's perfect will be done in this matter, and as always, sit tall in the saddle, America. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. And one of those commands, to expose the works of darkness. See you next week.